and all the time. Amen. All right, I want you to have, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to a couple of passages. The first one that we're going to look at is in Psalms chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. And then I'm going to actually have you turn to one in the New Testament, which is Mark chapter 11. So Psalms chapter 27 and Mark chapter 11, if you have your Bibles. And I encourage you to start bringing your Bibles or your smartphones, however you get to the Word of God. I'm also going to put them up here on the screen. And I just want to thank you guys for letting Jade and I be away for the month of August. We usually try to get away in the summer times. Just if you're new here to the church, we try to get away, you know, either in June or July. But this year, coming up to this year of 2022, and we scheduled this last year, we knew that we were going to be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary on August the 22nd. Amen. God is good. She's still with me, folks, and she still loves me, and I appreciate that. And so we decided, you know, the last time we really did anything on our for an anniversary was our 10th anniversary, and so we wanted to plan something, and there was something on our bucket list that we have been wanting to do, and that was to go to Alaska. So we went on an Alaskan cruise, and I was kind of bummed because I didn't get to see a moose, didn't get to see a bear. I did see some eagles, and I did see a humpback quail. So, and I got a good picture of that, and I'll have to share that on social media. Got a picture of a humpback whale breaching up out of the water and coming over and splashing. It's pretty cool, and I'm pretty excited about that, as you can tell. Alaska is beautiful. I encourage you, if you have a chance to go, go. The word that I kept using was, you know, I'd look off the balcony of our boat at the landscape, and I was just like, this is just so majestic to see mountains with snow on top and then see the ocean and forest all in one setting is pretty remarkable. And I was just amazed at God's goodness and at God's creation. And then we come back to Western Oklahoma. But thank God we had some rain here while we were gone. So things have kind of greened up around here. Appreciate the rain that we're having. But so we're glad to be back. Glad to be back in the pulpit today. And this message today that I've been in a series in the book of Acts. And we've been kind of taking the book of Acts a chapter at a time. But I felt just some things have happened in my life over this past week that I've been ministering this message to other people that I've come in contact with personally, been telling myself about it as well. And this is, if I was to say, you know, a lot of pastors talk about what's your life message, you know, what's it, and, you know, I say this a lot here at the church, God is good all the time, God is good. And for me, I know we say that every Sunday, and the reason why I say it is because I want it to get inside of you. I'm not just saying it as a Christian cliche. This is something that I have to remind myself every day. Because here's the deal. I know every one of you in here has gone through something this week where the enemy came in and lied to you and said, God's not good, or God's withholding something from you, or, you know, all the... And that comes... That kind of stuff, it's from the book of Genesis, and he's very good at his craft of lying. He's the father of lies, and he started this in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. We all know that story where he lied to them. He basically lied to them, hey, here's the lie. Did God really say this? But it was really, do you really believe God is good and he's really watching out for you and has your best interests at heart? Amen. That was the lie that they bought in the Garden of Eden. And that lie is still being, he's still using that lie today on all of God's children. And so what we have to do what the book of Romans says and renew our mind according to the Word of God. I'm a pastor, y'all know that. I'm your pastor. I do some Christian counseling. And I can tell you probably the number one thing that I come across whenever I minister to people, either, you know, just praying for people or just even counseling or anything, I've seen it in my own life as well, is the number one thing that the enemy attacks us on is our Father God concept. And if he can get you to believe that God is bad, then he's got you. And your life is going to be miserable. So you have to renew your mind to the Word of God. No matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what circumstances, situations are going on in your life right now, know, I believe God is good. And God is good all the time. And everybody said, amen. Because I've heard so many things this week of, cancer. Well, I got cancer because God was punishing me. No. Cancer's from the pit of hell, okay? Anything bad is from the devil. Anything good is from God, okay? And we got to get that in your mind and in your heart. A tragedy happens. Well, God's punishing me. God's out to get me. No. God took everything out on his son at the cross. That's where the punishment happened, right there for us. God wants nothing but good things for his children, all right? And I've ministered to a family this week that had lost a loved one, actually a little baby. And I spent an evening at the funeral home over in Clinton with them. And that was one of the things that they said when I got there was that the enemy was already lying to them that the reason this happened, that they have done something wrong or God's punishing them. And I said, no, that is not why this has happened. I don't know why this has happened, but it didn't come from the hand of God, okay, because everything good comes from God. That little baby was sent to you as a blessing from heaven, and we live in a fallen world where people get sick and they die. But that was not God's plan from the book of Genesis. Amen? Okay. I'm just trying to help you to understand that we do live in a fallen world. You're going to go through some stuff in life. You may be going through something right now. Maybe everything is hunky-dory in your life. That's a good word right now. But I promise you, you're going to go through some stuff, and that's where you're going to have to know, and you're going to have to say it and make yourself believe it. You know what? God is good. Enemy, I don't care what you're saying right now, what I'm going through, God is good, and he's working everything that I'm going through to my good. Yeah. And everybody said, amen. All right. So that's kind of the background of this message. My heart in this message today is I want you leaving here today knowing that God is good, all right, and that God is good all the time, but not just knowing it, but I'm going to give you some keys today that's going to help you to walk by faith and help you to manifest the goodness of God around you, all right? And so here's Psalms chapter 27. Before I get into Psalms chapter 27, another part of this that, you know, when we walk through things and we think we've got life pretty hard, there's always somebody else that's going through something even more difficult. You ever found that out? And Jade and I, when we was on this cruise, we met a couple from North Carolina, and they told us their story. And they were probably in their late 60s. And we got to talking about our kids, and, you know, and so that was an opportunity to say, you know, I've got one here, one in heaven, and then opened up the door for them to tell us that when they were younger, they had a stillborn son, and then they opened up to us and said, and the reason why we're on this trip is because last year, our 42-year-old daughter passed away from breast cancer, and we just needed to get away and unwind on this trip, and I was just sitting there going, oh my gosh, I just can't even, you know, I'm thinking about my daughter back home and my grandkids and all these things, and here they were, you know, going through something way, you know, if you're into comparisons, I mean, I'm just like, God bless you guys, you know. But I could tell that they were needing that breather because they were like, we got to go back and live life, and we're expecting the goodness of God for the remainder of our lives, you know. And so, guys, this is something I believe, this message today is going to carry you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And everybody said, amen. All right. So here's Psalms chapter 27, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified version of the Bible, and it says, what would have become of me had I not believed, everybody say believed, that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. So there's a mouthful there, and I love reading that out of the Amplified version Because what they're saying there, what the psalmist is saying, is for us to expect the goodness of God in our life, we're going to have to believe it, we're going to have to wait for it, we're going to have to hope for it, we're going to have to expect it. That's where I got this title from, Expect the Goodness of God. We're going to have to be brave and of good courage, because the enemy's going to attack you with the spirit of fear, making you doubt God's goodness and fear be running rampant. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And it's also going to be, he says, you need to have your heart stout and enduring. And all that, guys, if you want to sum up all those words, that's faith. Believe, wait, hope, expect, brave and good courage, stout and enduring. That's faith. Look at somebody and say, you need faith. But here's what you have to have faith in. It's not faith in and of yourself and your abilities. But Mark 11, verses 22 through 23, Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us today, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. That word, have faith in God, as Jesus was telling his disciples, you need to have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. And I'm going to show you what that is later in this message. Now, as I was studying this expecting the goodness of God, and this is not New Age, okay, because when you come out and somebody, I can already feel the, whenever I say this here and just saying, like, oh, Pastor Mark's teaching this New Age stuff. No, this is God stuff, all right? New Age has taken it and twisted it, but this is God stuff. But as I was researching this and thinking about it, here's the thought I had. Okay, when I'm thinking about the goodness of God during the course of my day, not just at church on Sunday morning, if I've been praying about the goodness of God, been thinking about the goodness of God, saying, God, help me see the goodness of God, what happens, I start seeing it more often because I've got my mind focused on it. Everybody with me? And so I start seeing it, and then I recognize it. And it may be something really small. This morning, coming to church, this was music to my ears, and you talk about God is good, expecting the goodness of God. My little three-year-old Jerick's in the back, sitting in his car seat, and he just busts out and starts singing Jesus Loves Me. We just had a worship session in the car this morning. That's the goodness of God. You know, a lot of times you just go, we get so caught up in life and going through the motions and going to church and all this stuff, we just don't take time and smell the roses, you know. And I was looking back in the rearview mirror seeing him, and he was giving it all he's got and singing it. And I'm like, God, that is the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God going down to another generation in my family. And just love it. But this, I'm going to show you the term. I don't know if psychologists, my daughter went to college for psychology, and she's wanting to be a school counselor. She's going to be a good one too. But I'm sure this is psychological terms. But they've termed this, because this really happens in real life, okay? Even the world has seen that what I'm talking about happens to us. So I'm going to give you some examples of this. It's called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. It's also called the confirmation or recency bias. It's also called the frequency illusion. By the way, it's not an illusion. It's the red-blue car syndrome. I'll show that to you here in just a second. And it occurs when something you've just noticed, like a red car, suddenly pops up everywhere, okay? Now, I was sharing this with Taya and Cameron yesterday, and Cameron and Taya told me about they recently took advantage of this truck market. You know, your pickups are worth a whole lot, so he was able to sell his pickup and get a car for better gas mileage, and so they bought an Audi. They found a pre-owned Audi over in Weatherford. And Cameron said, you know, he studied about Audis. He was thinking about Audis. And then he said, all of a sudden, all over Weatherford, I'm just seeing Audis everywhere, you know, because that was top of mind. He was thinking about it. Audis were everywhere. Another way that this happens, and that's called the red car, the red-blue car syndrome. You see a red car, then you start seeing other areas. You notice a blue car, and then, you know, all that kind of stuff. But one of the, sometimes we'll see it with words, okay. And then all of a sudden you start seeing that word. You see a word that you've never seen before, and then all of a sudden you start seeing that word everywhere else. And here's an example that happened to me. Here's a word for you called crepuscular, okay? And I was like, what is that? Some of you may know, so don't steal my thunder, okay, right now. And I was like, I'm learning a new word today, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. But that word means twilight. Crepuscular means twilight. And so it also refers to, like, and here's an ad, it's used as an adjective, crepuscular creatures, which are creatures that feed at dawn and dusk. So now, if you're a deer hunter like me, you can go up to somebody and say, deer are crepuscular creatures, and you're going to have people look at you really weird. But the reason why I'm sharing that, spelled C-R-E-P-U-S-C-U-L-A-R. I know everybody's looking at me like, what, you know, I'm trying to prove a point, because I'm telling you this word, and I promise you, somebody's going to text me this week, and you're going to see it somewhere. You're going to see it somewhere, because now it's top of mind. You've heard a new word, crepuscular, and you're going to see it somewhere. By the way, I'm a crepuscular creature, because I feed at dawn and dusk as well. All right? All right, that's, I worked on that all week. Okay, here's a few other scriptures. Psalms 23, verse 7. So what I'm trying to teach y'all is, I'm not making light of it a little bit, but it's true, because this is the way God has hardwired our brains, okay? This is the way he's wired us up here. And Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking about the goodness of God, so are you. You're going to start experiencing the goodness of God, all right? If you're constantly one of those negative Nancys, or whatever you call the guys, where you're just constantly in fear and constantly worried about things, you're going to manifest that. You're going to see it. And it's like you start believing, Mark and I have had this conversation before, you start believing that you're literally manifesting, but what you're doing, it's so top of mind that you're seeing it everywhere. Because there's negative stuff going on all the time around us that can make you afraid. But if you have the goodness of God that top of mind, you're going to start seeing that instead of the other. And then Luke 17, verse 21, Jesus said, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, his kingdom is on the inside of you. But you're going to have to release his kingdom, and you release it by faith and renewing your mind according to the word of God. So I'm going to say this, and I want you to stay with me today. You can manifest the kingdom of God around you if you're expecting the goodness of God. I'm going to say it again. That's my sermon in a sentence today. You can manifest the kingdom of God around you if you are expecting the goodness of God. You literally can, because God is good and he's a good God all the time. So here's five faith principles to activate the goodness of God in your life. I'm going to go ahead and give them to you up front, and then I'm going to break each one of them down. Number one is you got to be moved only by God's word. Sometimes we're moved by other things, by our emotions and feelings, and don't be forced to make, some of our grandma or grandparents taught us is, you know, sleep on a decision, whether it's financial or a big decision, even small decision, sleep on it. Don't let your emotions take over. That's what I'm trying to say. So be moved by only by God's word. Number two, don't be moved by appearances or what's on the outside. Number three is natural things are subject to change. Number four, see through the eyes of faith. And then number five, call things into existence. So I'm going to share each one of these in more depth a little bit. Number one is to be moved only by God's word. And I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. He was a minister back in the 1800s and great man of faith. Lots of, just miraculous signs and wonders happened in his ministry and followed him wherever he went. And one of his faith declarations was this. And it says, I actually read this on our trip, part of a book that I'm reading about Smith Wigglesworth. And this was his faith declaration all the time. He says, I'm not moved by what I see, I'm not moved by what I hear, and I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe, and I believe the word of God. And he had that so down in him, he would confess that wherever he went, but he had that so down in him that back in his day, you know, we get our news through TV and social media, things like that. Back in his day, they got their news through newspapers. He wouldn't let somebody bring a newspaper into his house because he said it's all negative news. He knew it was fake news before we did. He said it's all fake news and it's all negative, and I'm not letting it in my house. He wouldn't even let somebody come in his house with a newspaper. That's how much he believed be moved only by God's word. Number two, and I'm going to tell you guys, if you don't think the media is not moving this nation, it's moving this nation, okay? I'm just going to pause right there for just a second to tell you, God gave you a mind, use it, and talk to him. Don't believe everything you hear on TV, all right? Too many people are believing it hook, line, and sinker, and so be moved only by God's word, all right? Number two is don't be moved by appearances. I'm so thankful that after 30 years of marriage, Jada has not moved by my appearance. Because I look nothing like I did in high school, I promise you. I have expanded my territory tremendously. It's because Jada wakes up every day and looks at me, and she is not moved by appearances. She has stayed with me through it all, and I appreciate that, babe. But to take this a little bit further spiritually, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, out of the Amplified Version says, and most of you have heard this scripture, the shorter version, we walk by faith and not by sight. It says, for we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, which trust with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. So you can't just walk by, you got to walk by faith in this life. You can't just walk by appearances. There's going to be some things thrown at you that it doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, all those things. But if God has told you to walk through that door, you need to walk through that door. And everybody said, amen. This is a story in the Bible that shows you this is what the Lord looks at. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Lord looks at the heart. And he's not looking at the outward appearance. And that's when he sent Samuel to pick the next king over Israel. And you would have thought it would have been the older brother who had the height and the looks. He was a good-looking guy. But he chose the little teenager, David. God had his heart set on David because God was looking at the heart and not the outward appearance. God looks at your heart. Look at somebody and say, God looks at your heart. God looks at your heart. Get your heart right, okay? Number three is natural things are subject to change. Natural things are subject to change. You may be going through something awful right now, just like this couple, this precious couple, and I had the honor of marrying them, and now they're going through this, what they're going through with their baby daughter. And this scripture speaks to that because I had to tell them there at the funeral home, I said, you know, the enemy's going to come and lie to you guys and tell you this and try to tear you two apart and get you mad at God, mad at each other. And I said, but you're going to have to embrace grief, embrace each other, embrace God, and let the goodness of God do his work in this situation because God is still good in this whole situation. And this scripture says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I can't tell you how many times I've had to, you know, really take that scripture in, because we get so caught up in this world, but this world is not all there is. This world is not all there is. There's a better world coming. It's going to be way better. No more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. I was in that funeral home that day, and I was standing there knowing what has happened to me, what has happened to my wife, what's happened to this precious couple. And I'm going to tell you guys, I was standing there looking at this little baby in a bassinet, and I said, Lord, I am sick and tired of this. I know you called me to be a pastor and to bring comfort to people that are going through this because I've went through this myself, but God, I am so ready for this, what I can't see, to be seen. And we really experience the goodness of God in all of its fullness. I'm so ready for that day. But even then, at that moment, what I had to do is this number four. I had to see that and know that through the eyes of faith. And Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And I remember looking at those mountains in Alaska going, God, you are so awesome. I can't describe, the mountains in Alaska are like two times bigger than the Rockies. Okay, it's just majestic the way they look and just the whole landscape. And I was looking at that going, God, you are good. And you created all that. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made of what is invisible or what is visible. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17 talks about this, that we need to open our eyes of faith. And it says, when the servant, this is in the Old Testament, guys, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he thought, this prophet is out of his mind because we are way outnumbered. And Elisha prayed and said, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Sometimes we just need to pray, God, give me the eyes of faith. Help me to see what you see in this situation. And everybody said, all right, here's the last one. The last one is call things into existence. God gave you a mouth, he gave you a voice, and he wants you to use it for his good and for his glory. Too many times we're speaking bad and negative over things that we're going through. We're speaking bad, negative things over ourselves. You know, just for instance, you know, we go through life and, gosh, I'm so stupid. Quit saying that. You're not stupid. God don't make no stupid people. Amen? He don't. Start speaking life over yourself. You may not think that that doesn't affect you. It does. Self-talk affects you. That's not New Age stuff. That's God stuff. God wants you to speak good things over yourself. Romans 4, verses 16 through 17 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so we're all in the faith of Abraham. Verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. All right? Abraham was 100 years old, and God's telling him, you're going to be a daddy. And he's like, you are nuts, God. You're crazy. And so God, he said, I need you to believe this, Abraham, because not only have I'm fixing to make you a father. Now, I love this in the Romans 4, verse 18 in the Message Bible. It says this. It says, Abraham was first named father by God, and then he became a father. So what it's saying there is we've got to start speaking what God is speaking over ourselves, over our situations and circumstances that we're going through, to speak life over them. You have the power of life and death in your tongue, is what the Word of God says. That's how much, just, I want you to understand this. You're not God, but you're created in the image of God. And his what God did was speak everything into existence. You have that ability to do that. You have that power for either the good or the bad. So start speaking good things. And everybody said, all right, just real quick rundown, another summary. There's five faith principles to activate the goodness of God in your life. Number one, be moved only by God's word. Don't be moved by appearances. Number three, natural things are subject to change. See through the eyes of faith and call things into existence, all right? Those are the five faith principles to activate the goodness of God in your life. We'll end with a few more scriptures. As you know me, I love to give you lots of scripture. Psalms 119, verse 68, I love this out of the Message Bible. It says, you are good and the source of good, talking about God. And then I love what the psalmist says, and that's what I want you to leave here today doing. Lord, train me or teach me in your goodness. So I want you to leave here today, start recognizing the goodness of God in the small things and in the big things. And as you start doing that, you're going to start training your mind to see it, and then you're going to start seeing it more often because it's happening around you all the time. We are taking a lot of things for granted that are happening around us. It's the goodness of God. But as you give voice to it, as you thank Father God for it, you thank Him for His goodness. Like today, I thanked Him that my grandson is singing "Jesus Loves Me." Do I thank Him when he's throwing a fit? No. I saw him throw a fit this morning too, at the house. He wasn't wanting to get ready, and he was laying down in the kitchen butt naked. All right. And wasn't wanting to get ready. And then I see him, and I'm like, get him up. Let's go. We got to get to church this morning. And then I see him in the car seat in the back singing "Jesus Loves Me." All right? That's the goodness of God. Not the other. That's the goodness of God. All right? And that's what my focus is on. And they're, you know, you're going to go through stuff like that. So it's kind of like that. Don't cry over spilt milk, you know. Don't cry because the little boy's laying in your kitchen butt naked and don't want to get ready for church, you know, because he's going to be singing "Jesus Loves Me" in the car seat here in just a second. And he did that all on his own, too. James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And the reason why I put this scripture in there, and that I had it in here, is because this was a scripture that I gave to this family that had their little baby was only here for a short time. And I told them the story that I said, you know, right after, you know, I was like, you know, the enemy does so much through grief because you're so vulnerable and there's so many emotions going on. You start having thoughts, why did they even come, God? And they came because every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. They came from God's throne. They were just sent here. I'm going to just say this right now. Your kids are not your kids. They're God's kids, and He's given them to you to take care of and you to train them up in the way that they should go. And there's going to be one day when they leave the nest, and you're going to go through what Jade and I went through, the empty nest syndrome. You know, and you got to go through all those things by faith, but God sent them to you so that you would take care of them and raise them right. And every good and perfect gift is from above. And I had to tell this family, you know, I know that this is not natural for you to outlive your children, and we think that everybody's supposed to live to 80 to 90 years old, and then, you know, we go home to be with the Lord. And I said, and we don't get to pick and choose who gets to go at what age and when that happens. And I said, but that little girl of yours fulfilled her destiny in the short amount of time that she was here. And she never even said a word. But she fulfilled her destiny and her calling. And her calling was to you guys, pointing y'all to heaven. And I was just trying to comfort them with that because they were starting to believe that lie. Why did she even come? Why was she even here? Why did God send her and she's sick and all these things? And the why, whys. And I said, guys, I don't have the answers for all that. But this is where faith meets the road, where the rubber meets the road, and you're going to have to know that God is good and He's a good God all the time. And don't let the enemy lie to you. I love this scripture. Two more scriptures, and we're going to have our praise team. In fact, praise team, come on up here, and we're going to go out with the song today. We're going to go out with that, the goodness song that they've been singing, the new song. Psalms 31 verse 19 says, "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you." So basically what the psalmist is saying is he's letting us know that God has so many good things even stored up for those that respect Him, that honor Him. Look at somebody and say, God's got some things stored up for you. He does. And you're going to have to release those things that are stored up by faith. All right? And then Psalms 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What happens is when you start believing for the goodness of God and you start seeing it and it starts manifesting around you, what happens is, this is the goodness of God, people around you and your friends and your family will start seeing it, and they'll say, man, there's just something about you, and it's the goodness of God. And so what happens is then the goodness of God starts leading your family to repentance, to get to know Him. So some of you are walking billboards for the Lord. Amen. And I want to be the right walking billboard. I don't want to be the negative Nancy where the sky's always falling, right? I want to be, you want to be positive, upbeat, faith-filled, because that's what draws people into the kingdom of God. And everybody said, amen. And you're going to manifest what you believe, I promise you. If you're believing all the negative stuff and everything, that you're going to see more of that around you. But if you're believing in the goodness of God and wanting to see the goodness of God, you're going to start seeing more of that. And when you see it, begin to thank God for it, and you're going to start seeing more of it. Amen? Everybody learned something today? All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning before our praise team leads us in this song that we're going to go out to. And then I'm going to come up after we sing this song and worship. I'm going to come up and speak the blessing over you guys like I always do every Sunday. But this is a prayer of salvation, because I don't know everyone that's here this morning. I don't assume every Sunday that everybody knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because there's been people sitting in churches for 30 and 40 years that don't know Jesus. So I always say this prayer with everyone that's here, those that are watching online, and also this goes out on our radio ministry as well. So this is what I call the prayer of salvation. The Word says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. It's that easy. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to the Lord. The Holy Spirit takes care of that afterwards, okay? And he's still working on me, cleaning me up. But I want to lead you in this prayer if you've never done this before. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me, okay? And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want everybody, if you can, stand up. If you can't, you can sit there and worship too. But our praise team is going to lead us in this song, and I'm going to come up and speak a blessing over you.
We'll see. lived all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. God is good and all the time. All right, if you're standing there with your families, I want you to join hands with them, and we're going to speak this blessing over you today, Jed and I are. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, expect the goodness of God. Amen.